Are you glad to be here tonight? Hallelujah. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Are you glad? That's a good sign. Hallelujah. I'm expecting God to do some mighty things tonight. I've had the opportunity to travel with Dad for the past month and just saw God do a bunch of amazing things, and how he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh and heal cancers and tumors and all a bunch of things that the church world's never seen much of in this generation. But that's because we suffer with a form of godliness and deny the power. But that's soon changing, because the church is getting more hungry for signs and wonders and demonstration, because Jesus said that we could do even greater things than he did when he goes to the Father and gives us the Comforter. And once we're filled with the Holy Ghost, we have the power to cast out devils and all those things and signs and wonders that follow us, them that believe. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, I'm just excited because I don't know if anyone's witnessed what you're about to witness. And I just hope that you develop some sort of hunger for it, because as many as hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. Amen? Hallelujah. We're going to play a couple songs. Dad, you can make your way up here now. It's called bluegrass music, but it's not a bad word. It just simply means acoustical instrumentation. Amen. Yes. You may be seated. Go ahead and sit down. You don't have to stand up for this one. All we got here is a guitar and mandolin, but you can just imagine that there's a bass and a few other things.
Well, we got a bass back there. Somebody volunteer.
Oh, you want to play? Oh, that's great.
All right. Thank you, Adam. And we're here. Great things are going to happen. In the name of the Holy Child, Jesus. Amen to God. I can get used to the sound system. They're different in every church. All right. Back up there. He did say we're going to sing a song or two, and hope you enjoy it. As we kind of get us started here, get used to you, get used to us. Just arrived on the plane along with us. We hope they still got their notes in them. All right, you ready, son?
Ready as I'll ever be.
Ready as you ever be. That's true. Well, I have found the way that leads to endlessly on the glory land. As the road feels bright and and a holy sight. Well, I found the way, gospel way. Yes, I found the way, the shining way. Oh, glory, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah. Yes, I found the way.
Now listen to the
glory, hallelujah, I am found the way.
Certainly going to stay in the Word of God tonight because it's forever settled. It's an unsettling generation where everything changes most every day, but certainly consoling to know there's something that never changes. It's not my Word like the hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. What is the chaff to the wheat? And that which is forever settled before the foundation of the world is going to manifest itself tonight and be confirmed. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God.
What you got else you want to do?
You want to pick one?
We could. What do you want to pick?
Something in
A. All right. This is a song that's called an instrumental. That means a song with no lyrics. The wonderful thing about their invention is that it rests your voice. You don't have to sing. That way you're ready for the next song after the instrumental. Okay, we're going to give our bass player a good hand back here. Good hand for the bass player.
I didn't know you could play a 6-string bass for bluegrass. Can you do that, Adam?
Yeah,
apparently so. All right. See, actually, this type of music is acoustical instrumentation. And that means there's supposed to be nothing electric, but we're making an allowance tonight. See, what you hear is what you get. There's no fake in this. I mean, if we can't fake it, we got to go lay it down. Because there's no buttons to push and synthesizers and transistors and resistors and these sisters and consistors and all the other sisters. Anybody appreciate real music?
Here you go, boy. It's always pickless when it comes down to pick.
Wonderful.
Now we both got one. Same kind, too. We ought to harmonize with those two picks.
What is
it? Oh.
Oh, okay.
I guess I can do that. All right, let's do your instrumental there, Brother Adam Clark. Well, I guess it's all over, but you should have listened. Thank you. many times I bowed beneath my heavy load. On bended knees to God a prayer I prayed. As I knelt there on the floor, He reminded me just once more that the answer was already on the way. Oh yes, the answer's on the way. This I know. God, the answer's on the way. Some of your answers may have gotten here already. And it's always based upon God's timing. Now we know He confirms the Word of God. He does not confirm Time, Life, Newsweek magazine, and the Reader's Digest. He only confirms His Word. And even though He does, there is a timing for every supernatural event. There's a timing tonight for your miracle in the midst of this meeting. Timing is the key. And we're going to be speaking about that for a little while. And the timing is like Rebecca, who looked up from the well and looked at this stranger who rode up on a bunch of camels. And I guess she thought that he was going to ask her to water the camels. And she may have, but she looked at this stranger when she found out what he wanted. She said, "Why should I get on that camel and ride across the desert sand to marry a man that I never met?" And Eliezer, who was sent from Abraham to find a wife for his son Isaac, looking for the bride. And are we looking for the bride tonight? Say hello. Eliezer said, "Because of these," and he reached into his treasure chest and he pulled out an assortment and an abundance of gifts, and he portrayed them and displayed them in front of Rebecca, and she took a look at those gifts and her eyes get big as saucers. She said, "My, I've never seen such gifts." What an amazing assortment of things. What an operation. She said, is that man anything like his gifts? Well, these are from him, said Eliezer. These are Isaac's gifts to you, Rebecca, bride-to-be. As far as him being like his gifts, I can honestly tell you, ma'am, that he's much, much greater than his gifts. You believe he is tonight? Is he greater than his gifts? Glory to God. Woo, the great I am, the everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, the Lily of the Valley, bright and morning star, fairest of 10,000, rose of chair, and altogether lovely. What? This wheel in the middle of the wheel, this four-faced man, this fourth man in the fiery furnace, this ox, this lion, this eagle, this man, this God, this I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am that I am, way back there in the Old Testament. Aren't you glad I am is that I am? And when Saul of Tarsus was on the Damascus Road out Christian killing and met his Waterloo and got knocked off on his high horse and bit the dust, a voice from heaven crying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And this great preacher taught at the feet of Gamaliel, who knew the law frontwards and backwards, could argue religion and fight and wrangle and win and split hairs and rehair the split. This supreme legalist, this mentalist, this one who had it all philosophically and theologically, asked the most stupid question for such a great religious leader. The stupid question was, who art thou, Lord? You'd have thought that anybody so steeped in religion ought to at least have known who the Lord was. But he didn't, as many don't. He wasn't long in finding out who the Lord was. The booming voice from heaven came bouncing back saying, I am. Now we've got the I am talking again. I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Don't go against the tide tonight. Don't just fight what God's trying to do. Don't kick at his sacrifice and offerings. Hallelujah. The I am the door, and the I am the good shepherd, and the I am the water of life, and the I am the first and the last and the Alpha and Omega. There's so many I ams here. As a matter of fact, there's some I ams you never thought about. One day he said, there's a reason you don't know what I'm talking about. I am from above, but ye are from beneath. Oh, the I am from above is with us tonight. One day the Samaritan woman said, well, now when the Messiah comes, he's going to tell us all things. So Jesus began to tell her all things. And then he said, I who speak unto you am he. I am the Messiah. There's another I am. One day in the garden, the soldiers came and said, we seek Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am he. And when the I am he said, I am he. They all got slain out in the spirit and fell backwards like dead men on the ground. There's some power with the I am. Hallelujah. One day he said, the scripture saith in David, ye are gods. Are ye angry at me because I said I am the Son of God? The I am the Son of God is with us tonight. But you're not 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham? That's not important, Jesus said. What's important is Abraham saw me. Now that's important. Hallelujah. He said, before Abraham was, I am. I am before Abraham is here tonight. Well, the devils came out in your name, Jesus. Isn't it wonderful? Yeah, it's wonderful, but that's not anything to rejoice about. The devils always fear and tremble when they hear my name, because that's the name that Almighty God has picked to go by. That every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess by. That the whole world and things under the earth, above the earth and in the earth and everywhere in the universe will be judged by. Well, I'm going to change that, Brother Freddy. It's pretty hard for you with your little short arms to box of God. He's going to have his way in spite of you and I. Hallelujah. We might just well quit kicking against the pricks and go along with it. Back home on the farm, we had a great big old bull. Brought him down from my grandfather's farm to our farm, which is a mile away, where I was born and raised up. Get out there in the pasture of all those cows and didn't want to leave. So we backed the old 39 Ford truck up, hooked a big chain to the big loop, the big steel hook in the back of the bed of the body, and hooked the other end of the chain around the ring in the old bull's snout, the most tender, sensitive part of his body. And then we put the old truck, I'll never forget, we put it in bull low, what we called bull low. And it inched along, and that chain tightened up, and it got tighter and tighter. And pretty soon the pressure came to bear on the most painful part of the old bull's body. He started snorting. He didn't like the pain. All of a sudden, he got up on his feet. I mean, we whipped and beat him, and he wouldn't budge. He just laid there. But now he was on his feet with his head just twisting, and that old chain just the tight. He didn't like it, brother. But he had to go along with it. I said he didn't like it, but he had to go along with it. It was either that or tear his snout out, and he wasn't about to let that happen. Say praise the Lord. Who wants to go along with what God's doing tonight? That old chain is tightening up now. We're just kind of picking away along here and getting a hold of things. Say praise the Lord. Oh, yes. And there's, Jesus said, here's what I want you to rejoice about, that your name. Not the devil's come out in my name, but that your name. My name is intact. But what about your name? I'm worried about your name. So what you want to rejoice is that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what really counts. As far as the devil's concerned, he's a piece of cake. He's a powder puff pushover. Just a cream puff. He got no power. Why, when Jesus went to heaven, the last thing he said before his toes left Mount Olivet was, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. The things above the earth, in the earth, under the earth, it's all been given unto me. Now, if Jesus has got all power, where's the devil's? None. He's been pulling your leg. He's been deceiving you because he's a deceiver, a liar, a thief, and a murderer, and a crook. And that's about all he can do. He can't create nothing. He just destroys things. He withers anything he comes around. I wouldn't get on his side. He's such a born loser. I show you how bad a loser the devil is. He backslid when there wasn't even a devil. And you're going to work for him? No, I don't think so. Glory to God. I saw Lucifer like lightning cast out of heaven, Jesus said. I watched him go. So I guess Jesus has been around for a while. All this thing wasn't done in a corner. It's been laid from the foundation of the world. But what about him being born of a virgin? Well, he just left the ivory palaces and left that glorified body and became flesh and blood, that's all. And now that he's back in heaven of a glorified body, he has an added dimension. Glorified flesh and bone. Not blood. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. If you want to go to heaven, you're going to have to leave this carcass behind. Either go in spirit by leaving the carcass, or get resurrected when the last trump sounds and go in a new carcass. An incorruptible, immortal body. But flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. This is why Jesus did not mind shedding his blood for you because he couldn't go back to heaven with it. Hello? Are you listening? Glory to God. He left it in the earth. Blood can only make you live for 70. But if you are alive by the power that raised Jesus from the dead, you'll live forever. For he's alive after the power of an endless life, and it's the Holy Ghost and fire, and it's keeping me alive tonight. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm crucified with Christ. I'm a dead man. Dead men feel nothing. You can kick a corpse all day long. You'll never know you're doing it to him. Just as soon as you get good and dead, you obey God. You won't care about your reputation. You won't care about your criticism and all the gossip and slander. You won't worry about your red face and embarrassment and pride and ego. You won't worry about falling and slipping and skipping and being humiliated. Dead men feel nothing. Oh, you can kick a corpse all day long and he'll never know you're doing it to him. So get good and dead tonight and you probably will obey God before the night's over. Die to self. I'm crucified in Christ. Nevertheless, I'm still living, but it's Christ that's my liver. He's doing the living on the inside of me. Hallelujah. I love him. And so she looked one more time at those powerful gifts with her eyes as big as saucers and hollered over her shoulder, "Goodbye, Mama. Goodbye, Daddy. I'm getting on this camel going halfway around the world. I'm going to cross this old desert and marry a man I never met on the strength of his gifts." It's just like you. You haven't met him yet either. But you're pursuing him in your pilgrimage across the waste, howling wilderness of this old world. Riding an old camel. As long as Rebecca sat down between the humps on that camel's back, she couldn't get ahead of God. And she could not backslide either. Stay on the camel tonight. And don't worry how slow the camel goes. Quit looking at your watch. Don't tell Jesus you got 2 minutes. Lord, can you bless me in 2 minutes? You stay between the humps tonight. And this camel will take you right at perfect timing. Right at proper speed. You'll get there the same time your miracle gets there. Woo! Shia Baba Hatai. Whoa, look out here. I'm feeling power starting to come down. Oh, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, glory. So she got there and married a man she never met on the strength of his gifts. Do you believe in the gifts of the Spirit tonight? It'll make the bride get to the wedding supper, I promise you, and make you want to be there instead of dreading the day. Oh, my, I hope I don't have to stand before the judgment seat. Well, you will. I hope I don't have to sit at the wedding table. You will. And you'll want to, too. Because of what God's doing between now and then. Hallelujah. Some folks, it's just a tedious chore to have to go to church. Some people's church prints a menu at the door and they pass it out. They know everything that's going to happen right on the minute that it happens. They can read it. They can predict it. Why, you could just stay home and have them mail it to you. But when you get in Holy Ghost atmosphere, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And we don't know what's going to happen next. If you see old Brother Freddy wandering around like you don't know what he's doing, because you don't know what he's doing. But I don't plan on doing anything until I hear orders from headquarters. Oh, isn't this wonderful? You can study all day and plan nothing. You just come here all tanked up and just see what God wants to select. Why, it's just like taking candy from a baby, operating in the gifts of the Spirit. It just ain't fair to the devil. He just panics and freaks and dives out the window in his confusion, for God is not the author of it. He don't know what's going to happen next. The preacher don't even know what's going to happen next. So so he can't harden your heart as hard as in a damaged stone. He just don't know what to do. Oh, it bothers him bad. But it just sets me free. Now, I can teach you now in 2 minutes how to obey God. Do you want to learn how to obey God in 2 minutes? Well, I'll take that back. I can teach you in 2 words, and that won't take 2 minutes. In 2 words, that'll take 2 seconds. Who wants to learn that fast? Here's the 2 words. Quit thinking. Take your brain out of your head and lay it on the pew. You'll only be mindless for a few moments. All of a sudden, another mind will come into your head. That'll be the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you. It was also in Christ Jesus. And as long as you don't doubt it, pout it, and do without it, as long as you don't look down, Peter, you'll walk on this water. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't analyze and scrutinize and bisect and dissect the voice you hear. And it'll always be right. It'll always be vindicated. It'll always be confirmed. We'll keep this plane in the air and we won't have to land it. Hallelujah to God. Jesus could say, I speak only those things I hear the Father say. And we can say the same thing. As ambassadors of Christ, we can say the same thing. For God is Father, God is Spirit, God is invisible, God fills the universe, God is holy. He knows all. He's powerful enough to do all. And by the Spirit speaking, Jesus repeats what the Spirit says. And that's what he's talking about when he says, the Father worketh hitherto, and I work. That means where the Spirit's working, that's where I go and work. I'm not going to go pray for a dry hide over here if the anointing's working on somebody over here. I ain't stupid. It is the anointing that breaks the yoke. The yoke is destroyed because of the anointing. You're not going to tackle nobody dry as a biscuit. You're going to have something moving. It's not might, it's not power, it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Oh, glory. I speak only those things I hear the Father say. That's like Pete and repeat. Spirit speaks. I repeat what the Spirit speaks. I do only those things I see the Father do. Whatever the Spirit's doing, I go and do it, Jesus says. Isn't that wonderful? I do only those things that please Him. You want to please Him? Then believe Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. And you cannot help but get faith if you will listen to what you're listening to right now. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the Word of God. This is going to give you faith, even though you've been born of a measure of faith and a mustard seed, some of you. It can grow tonight because of God's Word. I could come down and pray for you and minister to you right now, and you'd be healed for 2 weeks. Then you'd lose it and blame me because you lost it. Why not, Brother Freddie, pray for me? You know I was all right for 2 weeks. Well, God's got to confirm something. There's got to be a foundation in order for your miracle to stick to your fifth ribs like Quaker's oats. There's got to be something behind it. That's why we preach the Word. Even you sightseers that don't want to hear the Word, you just want to see the signs. We still have to give you what's good for you. Oh, thank God, for man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Holy Ghost is the preacher tonight, the mouth of God. I do love Him. Hallelujah. You happy now? I was going to speak on timing just a little more in Acts 19 and 20. So mightily grew the Word of God and prevailed. Would you like the Word of God to grow tonight? Would you like the Word of God to get mighty tonight? Would you like the Word of God to prevail tonight? It shall. He sent His Word and healed him. He cast out spirits by His Word. He spoke the work through the mouths and the work was done. What saith the Scripture? The Word is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth, that it is the Word of faith which we preach. If you believe in your heart and confess of your mouth that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Get your heart in it and get your mouth in it. And thou shalt be saved, for salvation is a progressive thing. It begins and it continues. And he that endures unto the end, the same shall be saved. You see, I am saved. I am being saved. And I shall be saved. So I guess that ends that old doctrine the cows used to moo. That old song. Remember the song the cows used to moo? Once in grass, always in grass. Remember that song? Well, one day they ate up all the grass and they ran out of grass. They had to jump the fence and get over there where the grass was greener. That was over in Pentecost. Please don't read between the lines here. Are you happy now? That American colloquialism. That United States double talk. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God. So mightily grew the word of God and prevailed after these things were ended. What things? The revival of Ephesus, of course. Paul purposed in the Spirit when he had passed through Macedonia at Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he had a schedule the Holy Ghost gave him. He purposes in the Spirit. Now, when you purpose something in the Spirit, you should follow through on it, because that's called the leading of God. We are in a Gifts of the Spirit seminar. Yes, we are. The night meetings, however, are evangelistic, and they are revival meetings open to the public. Today's sessions at 10 o'clock in the morning are for ministry only. Okay. Well, Brother Freddy, I wish I could come. Well, are you saved? Yes. Are you ministering? No. Well, then you better get ministering or you won't stay saved. Hello. How do I minister? Well, if you're saved, you have three choices. Either preach, teach, or witness. Pick one of the above. Hello. Of course, if you feel you have a ministry and you have a great hunger to learn to move in the operation of the nine gifts of the Spirit, well, then the morning session is for you at 10 o'clock. But the night services are revival meetings for the church, for those who don't minister, and for ministry too, and especially for the heathens. Say praise the Lord. How can a heathen minister? I'll tell you, de-heathenize him. Are you listening close tonight? I love him. I praise him. He is worthy. All right. He has a schedule that God gives him, but he does not follow it. This is very interesting. In 1 Corinthians 16, he's telling the Corinthians, he said, listen, I've spent enough time with you, like he did in the previous chapter of Acts 18. He said, I will come to you when I pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia. There's a few things that he knew he was going to do. In fact, Acts 19 tells us he knew when he was supposed to do them. And it may be that I will abide. He can't quite make up his mind what to do with this carnal church. You know, the Corinthians was a carnal church. It may be that I'll abide, yea, and I might even winter with you, that you might bring me on my journey whithersoever I go, for I will not see you now by the way. He can't quite make up his mind what to do with the Corinthians or how much time to spend on them. But I trust, though I won't see you now, I do trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. Well, we just had Pentecost Sunday, didn't we? Wasn't that last Sunday? There's a funny thing about Pentecost. When it finally arrives, you don't have to tarry anymore. Hello? The apostolic method of receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost was the laying on of hands. You know that. The Phillips down there in Samaria having such a healing revival and casting out devils and folks getting saved. And yet, none of them had the Holy Ghost. And he couldn't get it on them, or in them, or through them. He could get it all around them. He called for Peter and John. They came down, laid hands upon them. Every last one of them spoke of tongues. How about that? Hallelujah to God. You see, when Pentecost comes, the tarrying's over with. Jesus said, tarry in Jerusalem until you were endued with power from on high. Then he said goodbye and disappeared in a cloud. So they went to Jerusalem, to the upper room, and they tarried until Pentecost came. But when the day of Pentecost was fully come, then they didn't have to tarry no more. We want full gospel Pentecost around here. We want an apostolic church, not an apostate church. We want Pentecost at any cost instead of being so plenty crossed. Hallelujah. Are you listening? We don't want a supper room. We want an upper room. And here it was that when Pentecost came, they can quit tarrying. And there's 10 days that are scriptural to tarry for the Holy Ghost. That was from the ascension to the descension. From Jesus going to heaven to the Holy Ghost coming to earth. That was the 10 days for tarrying. Now, what are you doing tarrying for years? My poor old grandfather. He tarried for 20 years, and he worked so hard every day. Before he'd go to bed at night, he'd fall down by the bed. And he'd pray that God would fill him with the Holy Ghost. Oh, God, fill me with the Holy Ghost. And I'm tired and exhausted. And he'd fall asleep right there. Short chore for insomnia. Prayer. Prayer's hard work. But when you start worshiping it,